Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome to New Creation Realities. And we're going to go ahead and continue with our lessons, Let There Be Light. And this is class 17. It's our last class for the semester, or our last lesson for the semester. I say semester because basically these are parallel classes with the Berea School in Monterrey, Mexico, the classes that I do with them in Spanish. Anyway. We're actually starting a new semester around the corner, so we're going to continue these lessons next week. there's no hiccup in getting them out there. Actually, there was for a while, but anyway, those are all the announcements we have. And for this lesson, I just wanted to touch on a few things. Basically, looking at the light of God, or shall I say, darkness versus light, the mind of man, ignorance versus wisdom and knowledge and understanding. what we're basically going to be looking at is the philosophy of man versus the wisdom of God. That's what it amounts to. And I know I've touched on philosophy a little bit in our past lessons, but I'm finally, during this lesson, going to look at some actual definitions that are really good, really eye-opening. So, first off, I do want to mention this. The only light there is the light that God gives, which is the testimony. We see this in the Psalms. Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." Okay? So the only light there is number one, first thing, the light that God gives. Then there is the light of the Christian, the light of the believer, because Jesus also says, you are, speaking to his disciples, you are the light of the world. And so now you're thinking, okay, well, what am I then? Well, we are still nothing, brothers and sisters. What he's in reference to is basically this: the light of the Christian, the light of the believer, the light of the one who's born again, the light of the church is our testimony of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, of the creation of God. So our light, the light of the believer, is just our testimony of the light, Jesus Christ himself, that we have seen. Now, the light that is our very own testimony of the light, Jesus Christ himself, whom we have seen. There you go. I just read my notes. So once again, the only light there is the light that God gives, which is the light of his testimony. The light of the believer, which is our testimony of the light, the one whom we have beheld. And finally, the light whom God himself is. This is Jesus Christ himself, who says, I am the light of the world. All right? So now, if you can, this bears witness in the New Testament. Every born-again believer, as Jesus mentioned to his disciples, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the world. But he says, you are the light of the world. The only light we have, my brothers and sisters, is our testimony of the one whom we have seen. Our testimony of the light whom we have seen, who is Jesus Christ himself. And that equates to a true testimony. Everything else with a natural mind that we have seen equates to a false testimony. All right? So here we go. The only light there is the light that God gives, the light of the believer, the church, which is our testimony, or the light that God gives, which is the testimony of his son, the scriptures, the light of the believer, the light of the church, the light of the Christian, which is our testimony of the son whom we have beheld, and the light whom God himself is, Jesus Christ himself, who says, I am the light of the world. And he is the light of the creation of God. And I think in the book of Revelation, it says that there is no need for the sun, nor the stars, nor the moon, for the Lamb is the light of the city. The Lamb is the light thereof. Apart from the light of the testimony, going on, apart from the light of the testimony, apart from the light whom God himself is, whom Christ himself is, there is no light. And I know that in our Gentile world, that I say Gentile just generically, like here in the United States of America, we have these universities and colleges, and enlightenment and knowledge is power, and you know, light of all this stuff. But that's not light that's not light at all, because all that is the natural mind. Whether it be the natural mind, the heart of a born-again believer whose heart is submitted unto the natural mind, or just flat out the natural mind of man who's unregenerate, not born again. There's no light there. Now, I know that you can learn a whole lot of stuff. You can have a really great high IQ, but God says there's no light there. Because the only light there is the light that God gives, which is his testimony, the light of the believer, the light of the church, which is our testimony of the Son, Jesus Christ, whom we have beheld, whom God the Father has revealed, made known in our heart, or the light whom God himself is, the light that is found in his face. Remember, I think it's 1 Corinthians where the Apostle Paul says, the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. All right? And then I have, look at this subtitle, all are and will be offended. The whole world and Christians also, we are offended a whole lot. We're offended all the time. All right, I'm going to go on and explain why. Or actually, I don't have to explain it. I'll just, you know, this is why. For the believer, for the Christian, what is offended is our concept. Here we go. Our concept, our ignorance of what we believe is our life. That's what gets offended. It's very simple. Jesus Christ is not offended. I mean, left and right, people, humanity, mankind, Jew and Gentile, the whole world did him wrong. And he was never offended. He was never offended in man. In fact, he knew when Jesus was sent to the Father, he knew what was in man. He knew that there was no good. And it's almost like Noah and the flood. And God looked, and the thought of man was continually evil, wicked, all of the time. There's no good there. Because God wasn't present in that creation. God was not present in that humanity. Therefore, Jesus also says, you must be born again. And so humanity abused him, rejected him, refused him, mocked him, scourged him, all these things. And he wasn't offended, because he knew that if he did not do something, all humanity, all of mankind would continue in that condition. And there would continue to be no hope whatsoever for that man. The only hope for humanity is God. And God, in his tender mercy and ever abounding grace, he did not have to do this. But this is how merciful and loving our God is. He sent his only Son to be everything that the soul of man needed. The moment of new birth, God brings the soul from a condition of death and darkness unto a condition of life and light. Because the life And the light, who Jesus Christ himself is now present in the soul. Everything changes the moment of new birth. Everything. God didn't have to do this. Jesus didn't have to do this. I mean, he didn't have to put up with everything that was going on around him, the way he was treated. He was never offended. No, he was never offended. He never tried to find his identity or his life in that creation. No, he knew his life was above, found in the bosom of the Father. For the born again believer, for the Christian, what is offended is our concept, our ignorance of what we believe is our life. That's what's always offended. And see, I used to have this thought that my heart, as a believer, that my heart was always turned to the Lord. And every so often, something would grab my attention, and my heart was drawn here below, and now my heart's bound to the earth. Well, brothers and sisters, except God take the initiative by his Spirit, always. It's always God doing this. Man can do absolutely zero. We might as well just write that down. Man can do nothing. Underline it. Period. That's just the way it is. And so as a believer, I used to think that things would draw my attention away from Christ. No. The fact of the matter is, the attention of our heart is always drawn away from Christ. Except God perform a miracle by the work of his Holy Spirit and draw the attention of our heart and place it upon his Son, then the born-again believer's heart continues submitted to the natural mind, which is complete darkness and ignorance. The only hope there has ever been is the hope that God himself gives. That is his Son, the moment of new birth, and then it is the knowledge of his Son. When, by the work of the Spirit, our heart is brought from being submitted unto the natural mind, the mind that every single person has and uses, that gathers its information from this natural creation, from the natural senses of sight, sound, feel, touch, taste, everything, smell, unto being submitted unto the mind of Christ, the eternal mind, the only mind wherein there is light. See, because I did mention colleges and universities, and please don't misunderstand me. No. I'm not saying don't go to college, don't go to university. No, do that. If it's in your heart of the Lord to go to college, go to college. Go for it. But know this, that all that you will learn and all that you will grow in, regardless of where you're at, is this natural mind right here. That's it. And God calls that natural mind ignorance, darkness. That's it. And that's fine. We do have to operate in this world, but our life is not found in this world. And the Spirit of God continually works behind the scenes to direct our heart to behold our life above. Who is Christ? Any school found on the earth cannot direct your heart unto Christ. No, not even a Bible school. Not even a seminary. No. No. Now, the Spirit of God can use those things and probably will use those things. But when it comes down to it, it is a miracle of God that will direct our heart from our natural mind, our natural knowledge, from our learning unto the eternal mind of Christ. Remember what Jesus said. Let me just go ahead and search it so I don't misquote it. I've mentioned this several times. Oh, wow. Yeah, wow, I almost thought I was you'll be able to find it. Let me jot this down real quick. John chapter 6, verses 43 through 45. And I think the verse that I want is verse 45. Here's Jesus himself speaking. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Verse 45. Listen to this. It is written in the prophets. The Old Testament. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Now, when man teaches, when I teach, or whenever anyone else teach, they usually do it with a natural mind. And hopefully, to whatever degree, our heart is submitted to the Spirit of God, so that the Spirit of God can convey the eternal mind. Because our natural words only speak to natural ears, but the Spirit of God speaks to the heart. And that is the voice we need to hear. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. See, man's teaching, man's knowledge will not direct and bring a heart unto Christ. Nope, will not do it. Now, the Spirit of God can use what is being presented, and most likely will use what is being presented of the testimony that God has given. But when it's all said and done, it is only God and God alone. When God teaches and when we, the believer, do indeed learn, our heart comes unto Christ, unto a person, not a teaching, not a better teaching. No. See, if all we end up doing is listening to Bible teachers, Bible preachers, or whatever, then all we're doing is growing with natural knowledge. Well, now I understand this, and now I know this, and then we can compare. Listen to this. We can compare ourselves among ourselves, and that's done with a natural mind. When there's comparison being done, brothers and sisters, that comparison is done with a natural mind. See, a natural mind which has as its source the first man, Adam. That's what the world does. But now, when by the Spirit of God, our heart comes from being submitted to the natural mind, to the mind of Christ, the eternal mind, there is no comparison. It is literally, and we acknowledge the truth. It is literally not I, but Christ. At that point, you take no credit for anything because you have not grown per se. No, your growing is with a natural mind. No, at that moment, you have come from being a child to seeing the Son, the man. The automatic declaration, once again, not I, but Christ. No person can boast in what is not his. It's God's very own knowledge of his Son. And there, my brothers and sisters, is light. All right, going on. Born-again believers offended because we continue with our heart submitted unto a mind that belongs to a head of a king that is not present. The Christian does not have two lives or two heads. The Christian has only one life, which life is called Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, with his heart submitted to the eternal mind, beholding his life, declares unto the church, but when Christ, who is our life, appears. I think that's Colossians. Right, going on, our life, whom Christ is not offended. Christ is not offended. He knows what is in man. He knows what man cannot. Oh, he knows that man cannot change how he is. Man cannot change himself. Also, brothers and sisters, we who are born again, I'm not going to say we cannot change ourselves. We cannot behold the change that has come the moment of new birth, because at the moment of new birth, the eternal change came into our soul. And that change is called Jesus Christ himself. Life appeared where there was no life before. That is the eternal change. Before there was no life, before you were born again, before Christ was present, there was no life. And in the tender mercy and ever-abounding grace of God, life appeared. Christ appeared. Everything has changed. The fact of the matter is that our heart continues submitted to this natural mind once again that is bound to the natural senses, and you will never see the change with the natural mind. Because once again, the natural mind is darkness. There is no light with the natural mind. We just believe there is. See, the scriptures are true. I think it's in the book of Isaiah. We call darkness light and light darkness. We call evil good and good evil. That's what we do. That's what the natural mind does. But when by the Spirit of God, our heart actually turns unto the Lord, we who are born again, we leave all that behind. It's not a matter of me growing in knowledge. No, it is us who are born again growing in the knowledge of God, in God's knowledge. And God's knowledge isn't just like a generic thing. No, God's knowledge is His Son, in the knowledge of His Son. It's very simple. God has made it very simple. Not I, but Christ. All right, going on. Before Jesus appeared on the scene, there was no other option for man but because he was sent of the Father, he died upon the cross, was buried, and was risen again. Now there is a door unto whosoever will. All right. The natural mind does not have light. My mind, your mind, everyone's mind does not have light. Now, look at the way I do this. We who are born again, my mind, your mind, everyone's mind, including the mind of those who are not born again, does not have light. No. The only mind that has light is the mind of God, which mind is the mind of Christ. And glory to God, the Apostle Paul, with his heart submitted unto this eternal mind, declares unto the believer, but we have the mind of Christ. Now, my question is, since we have the mind of Christ, because Christ, whose mind it is present in our soul, what is our heart submitted unto? And until a work of God happens, a miracle of God, a work of the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, our hearts are submitted unto the natural mind. And you will not see, because there is no light in the natural mind. Oh yeah, you will see things. You will see plenty of things. You may even see spiritual things. But with God, it's not a matter of things, plural. It's a matter of His Son, singular. It's always singular. Masculine, singular. That's the issue with God. The issue is His Son. All right. Let's see. Oh, look at this. Apart from God, there is no light. We believe, We who are born again, yes, we do. We believe that we can have light apart from God. But this is impossible. Let me define this. For example, it is like saying, I can have life apart from Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, that's impossible. Remember, the believer does not have two lives. No, no. Before you were born again, you didn't have life. I don't care what you had. It was not life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And according to God, there is no other life. I mean, he even says it to Abraham. Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac. Well, what about Ishmael? No, no, no. According to God, there's only one son. There's only one life. We can't have life apart from Christ. He's the only life we have if we're born again. Also, it's like saying, I can have wisdom apart from Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, that also is impossible. Or, I can have righteousness apart from Jesus Christ. Once again, impossible. Because when we are doing that, when our thought is like that, oh yes, I have life. No, the I have is our concept of what we believe our life is. Oh, I can have wisdom. No, that's ignorance. Oh, I can have righteousness. No, that's unrighteousness. Like in Isaiah, all of your, for the one who's not born again, works of righteousness, and all of your, for us who are born again, whose hearts are submitted to the natural mind and our efforts, all of your righteousnesses are like filthy rags. No, there's only one who is righteous. Only one. The Son. And in God's tender mercy and ever-abounding grace, at the moment of new birth, God, listen, God has given unto the soul everything he created the soul to receive. He has given it in an instant in the person of his Son. The fact of the matter is, we just have no clue of the one who is present. The life who is present. The wisdom who is present. The righteousness who is present. We still continue with our hearts submitted unto a natural mind, and we are calling something else. Based on, listen, our definition. Remember, with God, it's very singular. Masculine, singular. One. His Son. See, to God, righteousness and wisdom and life and resurrection and peace and knowledge, understanding and kingdom and all these terms are one. Because the substance of all these terms is his Son. But us, with our natural mind, the mind of the first man, Adam, see, oh, well, the kingdom is totally different than righteousness. And, well, wisdom is totally something separate. No, 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 it's not. No, we dissect the Lord himself with a natural mind. God does not. Take now thy Son, thine only, period, one Son. And, of course, Isaac was a beautiful testimony of Jesus Christ. All right, going on. We believe and say such things because our heart is submitted to the natural mind. The natural mind functions like a song you cannot get out of your head, out of your brain. And I know you know this because it happens to me too. You know, you flick on the radio or something, or someone's singing this song, and then they leave. You know, and then you still have this song in your mind, and you cannot shut it off. That's the natural mind. The natural mind, I've said it before, in this way, is like a broken record. It always skips at the same spot. It's like scratch. It's like, burnt, there it is, burnt, there it is, burnt, there it is. And sometimes it just gets stuck there. And you're trying to move on. Move on to what? A different aspect of the natural mind? Or some different subject that we can learn with our natural mind? The natural mind is bound to the earth. The natural mind, remember, receives all of its information from the natural senses. Nothing spiritual about it. I mean, you can conclude that the world is round. So can an unbeliever. It requires no special thought. There's just, I've said this, and this is totally hilarious. There are just different levels of ignorance within the natural mind. You know, a higher level of ignorance within the natural mind. And so someone, and these are just examples, brothers and sisters, listen to this. Someone who's been born again, well, I've been born again 50 years. What about you? You've only been born again 2 days. Well, if their heart is submitted to the natural mind, it's just a higher level of ignorance. It's still the natural mind. But the Spirit of God is working behind the scenes to bring our heart from being submitted to this natural mind of ignorance and darkness unto being submitted unto the eternal mind, the mind of Christ. When that happens, brothers and sisters, the automatic thought confession will be something as follows. Oh my God, it's really all about Jesus. It's very simple. It's literally like that. It's like the scales fall off your eyes, and the only thing to now be able to see is the Lord. And the things fall into their places. Even the things of the scriptures. Now the things, plural, of the scriptures are seen as nothing less than the testimony for which God presented them as. It will always be one or the other, the natural mind or the mind of Christ, ignorance or wisdom, darkness or light, I or not I, but Christ. The divine celestial wisdom versus ignorance. Now, concerning the philosophy of man, philosophy is a product of the natural mind. It is. I mean, it's not in God's definition. That has the natural mind, it has as its source the first man, Adam. That's why I think in the scriptures, and I'm not sure, maybe it is there, maybe it's not, the Adamic mind, the mind of the first man, Adam, which is just the natural mind. All right? But philosophy, we'll look at, it's in Colossians. We'll look at it in a little bit. I think it's Colossians 2, chapter 8. We're going to look at some verses. Philosophy is a Greek term in the New Testament. It's philosophia, and it's basically made up of two different other terms. You know, two root terms make philosophia. The first one is philia, which is love. The other one is sophia, which is wisdom. So it is the love of wisdom. That's philosophy. Listen, the love of wisdom. Think of the Greeks when the Apostle Paul was walking around Mars Hill, or where was it? Maybe before that. He encountered himself among Greeks, obviously not born again, that all they lived for was to listen to some new thing so that they could grow in their knowledge, which God just calls darkness and ignorance. It's either man or Christ, the natural mind or the eternal mind. It's always one or the other, brothers and sisters. All right? This is the New International Dictionary of New Testament Theology, the abridged, for the term philosophy. And it says, philosophia, it's the Greek term found in Colossians 2. It says, love of wisdom. Of course, they didn't really break it down, but that's literally what it is. Phileo and Sophia, love of wisdom, philosophy, right? It goes on, classical and Old Testament. In classical Greek, philosophia A compound of philos, friend, and sophia, wisdom, means love of wisdom. There you go. They did actually break it down. This is Strong's dictionary for the word phileo, love. Oh, I forgot a quote there. In John chapter 21, verse 15, it says, to be a friend to, fond of an individual or an object, that is, have affection for. And then here's Strong's dictionary for the term wisdom in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Sophia. It is from Strong's number 4680. Wisdom. Listen to this. Look at Strong's definition. Wisdom, higher or lower, worldly or spiritual. Don't you love that? Look at that. Higher, the wisdom that is above, who is Christ himself, or lower, below, which is of man, ignorance, or worldly, of man below, or spiritual, of God above. I like the way he just defined that. Not philosophy, this is my subtitle here, not philosophy, but Christ. Now, Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. For I want you to know what a great this is the Apostle Paul. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all the riches of the fullness of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Verse 3, look at this. In whom? Here is our Greek term, it's actually in whom, in auto, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So this is the Apostle Paul with his heart submitted unto the eternal mind. So what he is saying, that it is only in Christ that is found wisdom and knowledge. So if we are learning with our natural mind, brothers and sisters, then according to God, there's no wisdom there. There's no knowledge there. It's just ignorance and darkness. No light whatsoever. Okay? Now remember, and don't get upset, but remember I told you towards the beginning of the class is that man is always offended. And what is offended is our concept of what we believe to be our life. All right. Verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, this is looking at verse 3 from the Bible. I'm looking at verse 3 because I looked at this the Bible Knowledge Commentary. I was actually looking at chapter 2, verse 8, but they mentioned verse 3. And look at what verse 3, their commentary for verse 3 is. Basically, it's just an excerpt. Listen to what it says. If one loves wisdom that is not Christ, that means something that you can learn apart from Jesus Christ, who is wisdom. If one loves wisdom that is not Christ, thus who is the sum of all wisdom, according to Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, that person, he loves an empty idol. I love that. Idolatry. Such a one will be always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. See, such a heart that is submitted to that natural mind will always be learning, and growing to a higher level of ignorance, but never be able to come to the acknowledgement of the truth, who Christ himself is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So according to the mind of God, there is no other way. There is no other truth, and there is no other life. Remember, with God, He has made it so simple. It's called the simplicity of Christ, masculine, singular. But I love that. I mean, let me read that again. If one loves wisdom that is not Christ, so if your definition of wisdom is not the person of Jesus Christ Himself, who is the sum of all wisdom, basically the substance of all wisdom, he loves an empty idol. That was the Bible Knowledge Commentary for Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, in reference to Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. I love that. Such a one will be always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. Because, my brothers and sisters, once again, the truth is not something we can learn with a natural mind. No. The truth is a person whose name is Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Son of God. Going on, Colossians chapter 2, verse 4 through 7. Now this I say, lest anyone should be deceived, should deceive you with, listen to this, persuasive words. Persuasive words are, I'll just say it this way, in debate, high school debate, college debate, anything like that, are something that can convince your natural mind. Sway you like you had this thought, but now you have this thought, or you had this other thought, and now you have this thought. Those are persuasive words. Persuasive words work in the natural realm and all come from the natural mind. And see, with the natural mind, well, you have one man's or one person's concept of good and their concept of evil. Then you have another person's concept of what is good and another concept of what is evil. And then it's almost like a repeat of the book of Judges. Every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. Why? Because during that time, listen, there was no king who was present. There was no head. See, during that time, it's a testimony. There was no head who was present because the first head was not there. And the king who was truly present was not known to be present. The rock which followed them, who is Christ. The true king who is present. The true prince of life who is present. But all that is with the natural mind growing from one level of ignorance to a greater level of ignorance, but it is still not the mind of Christ. Okay, where were we? Persuasive words, verse 5, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, this is the Apostle Paul. Okay, now that you are born again, listen to what he says. So then, walk in, and there's our Greek term again, walk in him and auto. So what is he saying? I know in the book of Revelation, it talks about a street of gold. Right? So where is it in our heart, listen, that we live, move, and have our being? In our heart. Is it truly in Christ where our life is found in reality? Or is it found in a corruptible realm below? As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. But you, listen, you cannot walk in him, brothers and sisters, unless the Spirit of God directs the attention of your heart and brings it from being submitted to your natural mind, to my natural mind, from everyone's natural mind, unto the eternal mind, who is Christ. I don't think I wrote this down, but basically I remember this in a movie they did concerning the Chronicles of Narnia. think it was the Voyage of the Dawn Treader, and they made a movie out of it. Now, see, we own the Chronicles of Narnia, the books, so we read them. Now, C.S. Lewis was pretty accurate scripturally, but in the movies, well, the movies are just the movies. I mean, they come out of Hollywood probably. And see, what they had, which was totally not even what was in the book, they have the heroes, those who are born again, they have them fighting the darkness, brothers and sisters. You don't fight the darkness. The natural mind is darkness. There is no light there. So what are you going to do? Fight this thought while you're still embracing this other thought? Bound to this thought? And this thought is still the natural mind. When I was in Bible school, I thought of it this way. It's like going to a fast food restaurant and saying, well, I just want this from the full meal deal. From the whole full meal deal, I just want this. But brothers and sisters, we don't understand that when we embrace one part of the natural mind, we've embraced it all. Well, sorry, but you're going to get these fries that are loaded with grease, fat, and salt, and blah, 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 you know, whether you want them or not. It's just part of the package, you know. No, but that's not what I want, this that I call good here. I don't want the evil. Do you see what I'm getting at? Yeah, there you go. I want the taste with no calories. I want the empty calories. I want the zero calories. It's still the natural mind below, bound, which mind comes from the head of the first man, Adam. It's like still trying to access a computer that's not even present. We just don't see that it says error, 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 error. We just don't see that. Now, we would see that if our heart, by the work of the Holy Spirit, was submitted unto the mind of Christ. And then we would see, listen, no error. And we would see, that mind is junk. Why do we drag it around? Well, we drag it around because we do not know. We are unaware of the mind who is present, because we are totally ignorant of the one whose mind it is. But see, everything of God, brothers and sisters, everything of God, the scriptures, the testimony, I mean, everything of God, the miracles, signs, wonders, everything of God is designed of God to direct and bring our heart under the person of His Son. Time and time and time again. That's the difference. What is the difference between a good teaching versus God's teaching? Well, a good teaching, you're going to learn something about Jesus. With God's teaching, you're going to come, listen, face to face with Jesus. That's true. No man can come to me except the Father draw him. Remember our verse? Have we already forgotten it? It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. This is God's teaching. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Has God really taught you something? This is the end of God's teaching. This is what God's teaching produces. For the one who's not born again, God's teaching produces an encounter with the living God, where Christ Himself appears in the soul where He was not there before. For the one who is born again, God's teaching produces in our heart a face-to-face encounter with the one who is present. It's just like the journey of Abraham. Once the Lord brought him unto the land, all that Abraham did was discover the God of glory who was present in the land. That's all there was to do. Discover the Eternal One who is present. And you can think, oh man, but what about the blah, 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 blah? What about? And if you're born again, you're going to say something like, well, what about this in the scripture? What about this in the scripture? And God is saying, hey, that's just the testimony of my son. What about my son? Hey, what about that? What about him? What about Jesus? We get caught up with everything but Jesus. But that's what the natural mind does. And God knows that. He knows how ignorant we are. He knows how our hearts are submitted to that ignorant mind. The Spirit of God is faithful, brothers and sisters. The Spirit of God remains faithful. God and God alone is faithful. We're not faithful to anything. We think we are, though. No, we are faithful to our doctrines or the concepts, the doctrines which are concepts which we pull out of the scriptures. We're faithful to those. God and God alone is faithful unto his Son. No man cometh unto me except the Father draw him, period. All right, going on. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, en auto. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him, en auto, in him. No, and I'll just say this, no longer rooted and being built up in your ignorance of the natural mind. Your concept. No. And established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So no longer walking in the corruptible with the heart submitted unto the corruptible, but walking with the heart submitted unto the incorruptible. Colossians, going on, chapter 2, verse 8. Verse 8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of, doesn't say God, the tradition of men. According to the basic principles of what? The world below. And not according to Christ. See, once again, with God, it is very simple. Masculine, singular, the simplicity of Christ. Very simple. Verse 9, for in him, that is in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10, and for us who are born again, listen to this, and you are complete in him, en auto, who is the head of all principality and power. Now, there is no lack in him. But my brothers and sisters, listen to me. If you are seeing lack, it is because your heart is bound and submitted unto the natural mind. For in him all fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells. And you are complete in him. All I'm trying to do is just let the Spirit of God shake us from our concepts to maybe even consider the truth. To maybe even consider Jesus. I can't do this. You can't do this. But the Spirit of God is faithful to do this. Because we are so, listen, we are so self-absorbed with our natural minds. Requires a miracle of God to consider his son. It does. It does. I mean, I'm not being boastful or anything. With my heart submitted to the same natural mind that your heart is submitted to, I'm not boasting in anything. My boast is in the Lord and what he and he alone does. And brothers and sisters, what he and he alone desires to do. May our boast be in the Lord. And not in ourselves, no longer ourselves. Remember, we read this passage a while back. It's out of Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7. See, this is like our mind, the natural mind, which is totally ignorance, darkness, no light there whatsoever, versus the eternal mind, what God knows. Listen to this. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7, for the Lord your God, and this is Moses speaking to the children of Israel who had been wandering 40 years in the wilderness. Listen to what he says. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. It doesn't matter what you think. The moment you're born again, it doesn't matter what you think, whether you think God is present or not. God, are you with me? Are you here, Lord? No, listen. Listen to the eternal mind. Your God has been with you since the moment of new birth. He goes on. He just doesn't leave it there. Listen, he goes on. You have lacked nothing. Because the eternal is present. Because all fullness dwells in Christ. And all fullness is present in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son. Brothers and sisters, we who are born again, the issue is we have no clue who has been present since the moment of new birth. That's it. That's it. And to confess our ignorance is not a bad thing. No, no. What it's saying, what it is literally doing is finally us agreeing with God, okay, I'm putting the stop sign down. Lord, I don't know. I, with the natural mind, thought I knew. But you know what? I really don't. I don't know. Or at least I don't think I don't know. What do you think, Lord? What do you know? And it actually, you know, our heart begins to yield to the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God. Instead of fighting with God, the Spirit of God trying to prepare the ground of our heart so that our heart can turn unto the Lord, and we're so caught up with this. No, but I want to learn about miracles, signs, and wonders. And the Spirit of God is saying, oh my gosh, the miracle signs and wonders serve a purpose to direct your heart unto Christ. What I'm trying to do, direct your heart unto Christ. No, but I want to learn about whatever. If therefore you have heard and have been taught of God, you will, without doubt, come unto Christ Jesus, his Son. Who's your teacher? Truly, brothers and sisters, we have one teacher. It is the Spirit of God himself. It is God Almighty himself. All right, let's go on. Let's see where we're at. Yeah, that was Colossians 2:10. All right, now with the term philosophy, philosophias, in verse 8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, philosophias, and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. So all that is found within the natural mind that is bound to the first man, Adam. So then, at this point, the believer, if his heart is submitted unto the natural mind, is submitted unto the same man of the unbeliever. Remember how I mentioned it a while ago? You can learn things, plural, from the scriptures just as much as an unbeliever can learn things from the scriptures. But see, it is only the Spirit of God who takes those things, gathers the fragments, plural, to prepare the ground of our heart for such an environment, for us who are born again, that the Lord may appear. The heart turned to the Lord, and we behold the one who has been, past tense, present in the land, in the midst, with us, since the moment we were born again. Only God can do this. Now, this is the Newman Concise English, Greek English Dictionary in the New Testament for the term philosophy, the word philosophy, philosophias. It says the following: philosophy is, in a bad sense, human wisdom. it does not attain unto God. It cannot. You know, it's bound. I mean, it's just bound there. It goes no higher than what it is. It's the natural mind from the first man, Adam, found on the earth below, trying. There we go. There was my comment from earlier, trying to fight the darkness. No, you don't fight the darkness, brothers and sisters. What the Spirit of God does prepares the ground of the heart so that our heart, listen, may turn from being submitted unto the darkness, the natural mind, to being submitted unto the light, the mind of Christ. Jesus Christ himself, who is the light of the creation of God. What are we doing until that happens? Until that happens, brothers and sisters, listen to me. All we are doing is shadow boxing. Boxing shadows. Getting absolutely nowhere. I remember my little sister mentioning, and I probably mentioned this in a previous lesson or class, but she had just moved from one apartment to another, and she was still bringing up stuff from the previous apartment, saying, well, man, this apartment, blah, 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 and the neighbors, blah, 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 blah. And finally I said, look, hey, look, let's hold on, pause. I told her, and this was the mind of the Lord to say this. I said, well, really, the Lord said, you don't live there anymore. But that's what we do, brothers and sisters. We don't live in the natural creation anymore. Our life is not found in the corruptible creation. But because our heart is submitted unto the natural mind, we're still, listen, digging up the past. And the Spirit of God is faithfully preparing the ground of our heart that our heart would turn and behold the creation wherein we live, move, and have our being. This is in Christ, my brothers and sisters. And not, it is not a location. It is a person. All right, going on. This is the Cyclopedia of Biblical, Theological, and Ecclesiastical Literature for the term philosophy. Listen to this. I love this. Philosophy is the highest department of human speculation. That's their definition. I love lexicons and Bible dictionaries. I love them. Philosophy is the highest department of human speculation, the most abstract knowledge of which the human mind is capable of. And brothers and sisters, it is far out there. But it's still not the mind of Christ. So all it is ignorance and darkness. It's just, where's my chalk? It's just, here we go. It's just one level of ignorance to a higher level of ignorance to a yet more high level of ignorance to a greater level of ignorance. Call it whatever you want. It's just not Christ. And see, we can say, oh, yes, brother, but I've learned so much. I've got blah, 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 blah under my belt. Well, go, you know, keep it under your belt. With God, he either sees Christ or he doesn't. He only acknowledges his son. Remember, take now thy son, Isaac, thine only son. And see, Abraham didn't start arguing, yes, Lord, but what about Ishmael? No, 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 there's none of that. Abraham, praise God, is like, okay, this is the one you acknowledge. This is the only one you acknowledge. All right. Going on. This is the complete biblical library, New Testament, Greek English dictionary, for the term philosophy, philosophias. I'll just read an excerpt. In Colossians 2:8, philosophy refers neither to Greek philosophy in general, nor to any single school. Rather, philosophia here is a specific religious heresy, one attempting to combine, listen to this, Christian teachings with other teachings from non-Christian sources. Brothers and sisters, how does this happen? This happens when it is a natural mind presenting. Because the natural mind presents sources, well, it's really singular, of the head of the first man, Adam, which is its source. That's the natural mind. The source of God, in just God's source, okay, man's source is the mind of the first man, Adam, the natural mind. of the first man, Adam. God's source, if you will, is Christ, his Son. Rather, philosophy here is a specific religious heresy, one attempting to combine Christian teachings with other teachings from non-Christian sources. That's basically the natural mind presenting something corruptible. Remember? With God, there's no mixture. But with man, that's all man knows. It goes on. Scripture does not condemn philosophy in itself, but it does condemn this particular philosophy, which, look at the way they say this, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of the world rather than on Christ. Remember, with God, it's either one or the other. Ignorance or wisdom. That which comes out of humanity or that which comes out of God himself, Christ. This is Vine's expository dictionary for the word philosophy, philosophias, denotes the love and pursuit of wisdom, the investigation of truth and nature. Oh my gosh, he said it. No, brothers and sisters, listen. The investigation of natural true things, and nature, what is natural of this natural realm. What is human below? That's philosophy. It goes on. Josephus speaks of three Jewish sects as three philosophies. It is worth observing that this word, which the Greeks denoted the highest effort of the intellect. The highest effort of the intellect, the natural mind. This is your mind cranking and reasoning and thinking it out. But brothers and sisters, remember, when that happens, we see the testimony of it in the scriptures. When it is our mind cranking and reasoning and thinking it out in the natural mind, the result is always Ishmael, something that is not Christ. And yet we call it God's blessing. We call it God's promise. When it's not. It goes on. The gospel, oh, I love this. I love this. I'll read it again. It is worth observing that this word, which to the Greeks denoted the highest effort of the intellect, occurs here alone in Paul's writings. It goes on. The gospel had deposed the term as inadequate to the higher standard, whether of knowledge or of practice, which it had introduced. Christ himself. See, we're always looking at our standards. Well, I've got a higher standard than you do. Well, no, I've got the highest standard among everyone on this world. Well, it still doesn't reach God's standard. God's standard is his Son. And everything else, listen, is below the standard. Requires a miracle of God for your heart to turn just as much as it requires a miracle of God for my heart to turn. That's just the truth. That's just true, brothers and sisters. All right, going on. This is Wren's expository dictionary for the term philosophy. It says, philosophia refers literally to the love of wisdom. The term occurs only in Colossians 2:8. Referring to the system of human knowledge. What does that mean? It means it's not divine knowledge. Who is Christ? It means that it's corruptible knowledge that comes from a corruptible mind who has as its source the first man, Adam, which is the corruptible man. Goes on. Human knowledge that is opposed, to the knowledge and wisdom of God, Christ. I couldn't find this in one of my English dictionaries or lexicons, so I had to pull it from my Spanish one, and I'll just go ahead and translate it as best I can because it's just so beautiful what they present here. This is the Diccionario Biblico Mundo Hispano, the Biblical Dictionary of the Hispanic World, something like that, by J.D. Douglas, Merrill C. Tenney, and Ed, I think it's edition, M.H., something like that. But here's what it says. This word and its derivatives usually have the connotation, a derogatory connotation in the Bible. And it references Colossians 2:8. It goes on to say, Paul emphasized the insufficiency of the wisdom of this world. The natural mind, brothers and sisters, the natural mind, the mind of man. And the absolute sufficiency of the wisdom based in the revelation of God. I had to read that. I had to translate that. That's just so good not to mention. Paul emphasized the insufficiency of the wisdom of this world that is bound to this world below, that is bound to the natural mind, the mind which has as its source the head of the first man, Adam. And the absolute sufficiency of the wisdom based in the revelation of God. Now, brothers and sisters, please listen. The revelation of God is not God revealing things, plural. The revelation of God is God revealing his singular masculine son, period. Remember, it's the simplicity of Christ. Everything of God is directing and bringing the heart unto the person of his Son. God has nothing else to reveal. God has nothing else to show. God has nothing else to make known. We just, listen to me, we just do not know the greatness of Christ. That is exactly what it amounts to. And we do not know the greatness of Christ because our hearts, brothers and sisters, are submitted unto this natural mind that seeks after natural knowledge of things. And with that mind, Christ Jesus becomes an end or a means to our end that we have in view. But God does not present his Son as a means to an end. God presents his Son as the beginning and the end. And the means unto God's end is the testimony found in the Scriptures. It is the Spirit of God and whatever testimony the believer and church has in beholding the face of the Son of God. Everything of God is designed of God to direct and bring the heart unto the person of his Son. Period. You can write that down. You can pray about it. You can wrestle with it. Present it to God. He'll make it known. He'll let you know. Going on. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 through 21. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise, he even defines it in this age. If you think you're wise in this age, this corruptible age, this natural age, if you think you're wise here, let him become a fool. Acknowledge his foolishness. Acknowledge his ignorance that he may become wise. That the heart may turn from foolishness and ignorance and darkness unto the only wisdom there is. Right? Remember, Jesus, I am the way, the truth, the life. According to God, there is no other way. And you who are born again, I know you've confessed this. I know you've declared this to non-believers. Well, you know, there you go, because I've done it myself. Well, you see, Jesus is the only way. What do you mean Jesus is the only way? Well, what about Buddha? Or what about this? Or what about that? What about this? You know, I can get to God. No, you can't. We try to convince him. No, Jesus is the only way. Well, brothers and sisters, that Jesus is the only way, then we have to also truly believe that he is the only truth, and that he is the only life, that he is the only resurrection, that he is the only king, that he is the only kingdom, that he is the only wisdom. I mean, it applies just the same. Remember my whole example with the full meal deal? If you embrace one thing of Jesus, you have to embrace everything. That he is everything God has ever offered. And if you cannot embrace him as everything, it is because your heart is still submitted unto a natural mind, which can only embrace things that it can understand and reason. But the Spirit of God is faithful unto the Son. God's our only hope. He's the only hope there is for the non-believer and for the church. I mean, Jesus is the hope of God. Remember, he is everything, brothers and sisters. Going on. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. The thoughts of the wise that come out of the natural mind, those who consider themselves wise. He knows that these thoughts out of this natural mind, which belongs to the first man, Adam, these thoughts are futile. And that word is mataioi, something like that in the Greek. It basically means idle. Idle. Empty, void. Remember, idle. There's no substance there. It is, brothers and sisters, a concept. God does not present a concept once again. He presents his Son. Going on, this is the Loanida Greek-English lexicon of the New Testament for the term philosophy, philosophias. Human understanding or human wisdom. It doesn't even, it's just below. And by implication, in contrast with divinely revealed knowledge. Divinely revealed knowledge is the Son. Because remember, God does not reveal anything but his Son, who is wisdom, who is understanding, who is knowledge, who is life, light, glory. It goes on, the way, the truth, resurrection, everything. It goes on. Human understanding, human wisdom, philosophy. In Colossians 2:8, philosophia may be rendered in some languages as the way in which people are wise, how you learn, okay? Or the way in which people understand things, or the manner in which people reason. It is the way which this group understands things versus the way this group reasons versus the way this group over here. Brothers and sisters, it is all the same natural mind. All understanding and reasoning by the same natural senses. If you can learn it by reading it with your natural eye, my brothers and sisters, then you have been taught by man below. Now, the Spirit of God, if it is a testimony of Christ, can and will use that, that you may be taught by God above. Therefore, if you have heard and learned of the Father, you will come unto Jesus Christ, his only Son. Going on, and I know I've gone long, but this is just really good. This is Thayer's. Oh, bring in Thayer's Greek-English lexicon. Listen to what Thayer's has to say. Actually, no. For some reason, I put an X on it because it's basically a repeat of others. Yeah, it is a repeat of other stuff that I've said. But I will read the comments that I have. Here it is. Once in the New Testament of the theology, or rather theosophy, of certain Jewish Christian ascetics, which busied itself with refined and speculative inquiries into the nature and classes of angels, into the ritual of the Mosaic law and regulations of Jewish tradition respecting practical life. Wow, did you get that? That's basically traditions on, hey, this, when I read it, it's just like, oh, wow, okay, behavior modification. You know, this is the rituals we do. This is how we do it. But see, okay, I'll just leave that. All right, here's my question after reading that. With all that that's going on that they were trying to present to the Christians of Colossae, where is Jesus in all of this? Right? Certain Jewish Christian ascetics busied itself with refined and speculative inquiries into the nature and classes of angels. Oh man, let's study about angels. Okay. I mean, it does mention angels in the scriptures. Oh, it goes on. Into the ritual of the Mosaic law. Oh wow, well look at what they did in Moses or in the law. You know, here's says do this and not do this. And the regulations of Jewish tradition respecting practical life. Look, this is how we do it. Well, my question is, where's Jesus in all of this? If it does not lead to the person of the Son himself, it's not of God. But brothers and sisters, the scriptures are of God because the scriptures are the testimony of Jesus Christ, his Son. Period. We just don't see the one whom God sees. And God knows that. He knows that until he takes the initiative and performs a miracle, our heart will continue submitted unto this natural mind, which is complete ignorance and darkness. All that stuff is found and bound to the earth below. I'll just end with this passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 through 25. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Right? The age that is not born again? The corruptible age? The first creation? Corruptible creation? The old creation? And the mind that belongs to that creation? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. Verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified. What is the Apostle Paul saying? We're declaring not so that you can get smarter. We're declaring the Son so that your heart may turn from this corruptible age unto the creation of God. To the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, when he says, but we preach Christ crucified, he is not saying, but we preach the crucifixion, the event. No. He preaches the death, burial, and resurrection. Christ crucified. Remember, it is a crucified lamb sitting, ruling, and reigning upon the throne. He preaches the end, the person himself. Not the event, but the person. So, oh wow, did I like totally miss that one? No, I didn't. I've got a lot of notes. Forgive me, I know I've gone long, but listen to it again. View it again. I got so much out of just reading definitions and lexicons. It just blessed me. But that's what it amounts to, brothers and sisters. For us who are born again, until God, by His Spirit, does a miracle in our heart, then our heart will continue submitted unto the natural mind. That's just the way it is. God knows this. He knows this. But in knowing this, He also has sent His Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, that is continually preparing the ground of our heart behind the scenes, whether we realize it or not, so that our heart may be directed, may turn and come by the Spirit of Truth unto the person of the truth. That God, in His tender mercy and ever-abounding grace, may perform His good pleasure in declaring, "Let there be light." This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So, please present all of this to the Holy Spirit, our true teacher, that He may take that which He desires to take, use it for God's end and God's purpose. Amen? Amen. Lord bless. We'll see you in our next lesson, which it will be in our next semester, which will be probably next week. Lord bless. Amen.